In a year of historic elections across the world, one of the most unforgettable moments in a debate was Donald Trump saying, "They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats." But it took a South African musician to turn that into a viral hit. And he is with us now. Welcome to David Scott, a.k.a. The Kiffness.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris. And thanks to all the Biz News listeners for having me here. It's always a privilege.
Please recap for our viewers the story of your parody hit.
Well, I was meant to be getting ready for my European tour. I was in my studio just rehearsing, and then people started sending me this video of Donald Trump. And my first thought was, I'm going to have to remix this now. But I'm supposed to be practicing. But I thought, let me just give this a shot. And yeah, within a day, I had a song which I actually thought was quite cool. There was a sort of tonality or rhythm to Donald Trump's speech that was actually quite musical. And so I turned it into a song, and I didn't want it to be political. That was just the one condition of making the song. So I wanted to make sure that I had a cause that everyone could unite behind, and that was animals. I think most people around the world love animals, and so I wanted to make sure that all the money made from the song was going to go towards the SPCA in Springfield, Ohio. And we've raised, I think, in the region of $100,000 for the SPCA there, which is just amazing. And yeah, it was just great to see the response to the song. People from all sides, Democrat, Republican, all loved it. And it's just amazing that you can use someone like Donald Trump to unify people through music. And that's just the power of music.
How many times has it been viewed by now?
So within the first day on Twitter alone, it got 50 million views. It just blew up completely on Twitter or X. And the last time I checked, I think it had about 15 million views on YouTube. So yeah, I think collectively it's, if we had to take all the platforms into consideration, I think it's gotten about 100 million views.
Not quite what you would have expected.
Well, yeah, I've made viral videos in the past, and you kind of get a sense of when something's going to go viral or not. Sometimes I get it wrong, but I just had a strong sense with this one. I think there was something about the rhythm as well, you know, Afrobeat, which is just so infectious and, you know, globally recognized now. The first draft of the song actually didn't sound that great. It was just like an ordinary, you know, beat that, you know, it didn't really inspire anything. And then I thought, let me just try Afrobeat, see what happens. And then as soon as I did that, I just thought, no, this is going to go far. There was just something about it.
And you have performed this song in concert.
Yeah, it's something I debated at length with my manager, because, you know, my show for the most part is, you know, remixing animals and interesting people from around the world. And we have a very non-political show. And so to introduce someone like Donald Trump into the show was something we weren't sure about. I don't think it's ever really wise to bring politics into a live show that's, you know, all about positive vibes and, you know, just bringing people together. So we talked about it at length, and, you know, we're looking through all the comments on social media, and for the most part, you know, the comments weren't for or against or anything like that. So we thought, let's just give this a shot. And it was pretty much the hit song of the entire show for that tour. People loved it all across Europe. You know, we played Germany, Spain, France, all over the place. And it was just so well received, no matter where we went. So it was definitely the right move, I think.
Okay. But since then, you have become embroiled in another international political storm. Please tell us what is happening.
Yeah, so I've never been one to, you know, shy away from expressing myself as a musician. I think most musicians, you know, they stay away from making any kind of political commentary because it can be detrimental to their career. I've seen many musicians face backlash and then they get, you know, taken off radio stations or they lose their sponsorship deals and that kind of thing. I'm in a fortunate position where, you know, I have a global audience that I've built up through platforms like YouTube. And I feel like I'm in this fortunate position where no matter what I say, I'm always going to have a base around the world who will support my music. And, you know, I don't rely on the traditional sort of forms of media that, you know, musicians have relied on throughout the years, like radio and record labels and all that kind of thing. I've built this up by myself, which is, you know, and not a lot of musicians can say that. So I am lucky in that I can just speak my mind and not really worry too much about the repercussions of that. So that's probably why you don't hear a lot of musicians speaking out. It's just out of fear. And I can totally understand that. I was in that position not so long ago where I relied very much on sponsorships and radio, and I've just been able to move past that. So I'd say during COVID, you know, when I was making parody songs just about the coronavirus and all that kind of thing, it very quickly moved from just, you know, laughing about the situation. It moved from parody into political satire because, you know, obviously our politicians were making very strange decisions about what we can and can't do. And so I started singing about that. And I'd say that was my first, you know, exposure to kind of media bashing, where, you know, all kinds of news outlets were just kind of coming after me. And I think that's when my eyes were open to the fact that the media is completely biased, because no one knows the story better than I do. I know that, you know, my parody about Julius Malema was well received. And then when the Sunday Times comes along and says, South Africa gives Kiffness a massive thumbs down on his new Julius Malema parody, I'd look at that and go, well, that's not the truth. You're cherry picking maybe a few comments that people have made, mainly EFF supporters, and you're making that the headline. So that's when I was aware of what was actually going on. And I thought to myself, well, if they're lying about me, what else have they lied about? And so that's when I kind of went on this journey of trying to find the truth through other avenues. And I'm just so grateful for platforms like X that allow us to actually, you know, look at things at the source and make up our own minds. And I think the media are struggling to sort of counter that, because there's a very obvious bias narrative that they're trying to push. And if you just search a little bit deeper, then you actually can find the truth. So that's the position that I find myself in. And yeah, recently, you know, I started seeing videos of Dr. Suleiman from Gift to the Givers, where he was just saying things that seemed, you know, at odds with the values that Gift to the Givers stood for, which is, you know, unity and nonpartisanship. And yeah, it just really bothered me, because, you know, I've always supported Gift to the Givers. I've been very outspoken in my support for them. I've raised money for them through my platform. When UCT had their fires, I sold my merch and gave all the money from the profits of that merchandise to Gift to the Givers so that they could help with the fires. I've made memes saying, you know, this is what South Africa could look like if we gave our tax money to Gift to the Givers instead of the ANC, and it's like this utopian picture. So, yeah, when Dr. Suleiman started saying all this stuff, it just came as a big shock to me. And I guess the first thing that I saw which raised red flags was he was being interviewed, I think, by Newsroom Africa. They're asking him about the GNU. They're saying, you know, what's your prayer for the GNU? Very nice question, you know, open-ended. And Dr. Suleiman said, no, it's not a government of national unity, it's a government of selective unity, because how can you call it a GNU when you don't include MK or the EFF? And I thought, why would anyone want MK or the EFF in a GNU? I mean, they're the most radical, you know, crazy people out there. I mean, the EFF are sympathetic towards Hamas. They call for the killing of white people in this country. So for him, a humanitarian, to say something like that just struck me as very odd. But I didn't think much more of it. I just thought, okay, well, that was just an unfortunate thing for him to say. Move on. And then just more and more stuff was coming up. You know, he was in an interview saying that, you know, he breaks the law in South Africa all the time. And he only follows Quranic law, which I thought was also just very strange, that he thinks he's above the law here in South Africa. I'm trying to think what else I saw. There are a number of things, but I think the video that I sort of focused on was when he was speaking at a mosque and saying, we must strike fear or terror into the hearts of our enemies. You know, this is what the Quran tells us to do. And, you know, I've got nothing against Muslim people. Like, I'm a Christian, I follow the Bible. And, you know, if someone wants to quote the Quran, that's their prerogative. But as a humanitarian, if you're telling people we need to strike fear into the hearts of the enemy, and in this case, he was talking about Zionists, I just thought, you know, you can't be saying that as someone who claims to be a humanitarian. So I took issue with that, and, you know, he was quoting the Quran, so I quoted the Bible saying, you know, beware of false prophets, because they come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath they're ferocious wolves. And to me, it just seems like that's truly the case, where Dr. Suleiman appears to be a humanitarian, and we can't deny he's done amazing humanitarian work and helped people regardless of their religion or their race. And I've got nothing against that. But if you're going to do that, you can't pair it with violent and divisive rhetoric. And that's what I have issue with.
Well, he has responded at length. What do you make of his rebuttal?
I think he should open up his books. I think that would dispel a lot of myths. If he could open up his books and show that there's no funneling of funds into, you know, organizations that we're not aware of, then I'm happy to say that I was wrong. But on the same token, even if the books are clean, I think his rhetoric needs to, you know, become more moderate. Because as I say, you can't call yourself a humanitarian if you support the EFF. It just doesn't make any sense. And I think, you know, the person who interviewed him didn't question any of his recent rhetoric. If anything, he was just, you know, reciting back to him what he said in his own book. So there was no real pressure on him to actually answer for the things that he said. It was a fluff piece, in my opinion.
Now, are there any recent or current political events that you would like to comment on and set off another firestorm?
Well, I mean, today, 5 years ago, Julius Malema said, if we haven't built a school within 5 years, then don't elect us. We're all useless. So this was on 16th of December, 2019. This is what Julius Malema said. It's now 16th of December, 2024, and we don't have a school yet. So, you know, I brought this up on X. I said, listen, this is what you said 5 years ago. You've got until Monday, and they don't have a school. So, yeah, it's just interesting that there seems to be no accountability for that. And, you know, just the other day, Malema was, you know, going on the same tangent about, you know, the revolution requires violence and all this kind of stuff. And this is the person that Dr. Suleiman says should be in government, which is just bizarre. So yeah, I try to stay out of politics. I'm a musician, I'm a creative. That's what I want to just focus my energies on. But, you know, I'm also a father, and I want to make sure that South Africa is a peace-loving nation that respects, you know, people with different views, and we uplift the constitution, and we don't have people, you know, running around, you know, just stoking fires by the things that they say. I think if you're a person in a position of power or influence, you should be held accountable for what you say. And so if I see people saying crazy things, I'm going to use my platform to show my concern, because, you know, I am a concerned citizen and a concerned father, and I want this country to be safe for everyone.
Now, there are people on X who have labeled you a racist as a result, and who would like to see you begging for your life before they skin you alive. What do you have to say to them?
I believe you're quoting Tony Yangeni, who said, you know, Twitter detectives, let's find this guy and skin him alive. And this was, you know, after Zwandile Masina posted a picture of me saying, who is this racist? And this was after my parody of Dlamini Zuma about her decision to ban cigarettes. And so I parodied the national anthem, which obviously, you know, made Masina very angry. And yeah, he basically started a witch hunt on me. And Yangeni responded saying, you know, let's find this guy and skin him alive. And, you know, I wasn't used to any of that at that point. It was quite scary at the time. But, yeah, and I had a decision to make. I had lawyers in my inbox saying, you need to sue for defamation. This is a slam dunk case. But then I had other people saying, you know, don't worry about, you know, getting litigious, rather try and just speak to the guy. And that's what I did. I recorded the conversation, and it's up on YouTube, and we just talked about it. And I think that's what needs to happen. You know, we need to have these kind of conversations where we're face to face, and we can actually recognize each other's humanity. For the most part, we had a pretty civil conversation. We disagreed on most or on some things. But yeah, that conversation is up for anyone to see, and you can decide for yourself if I'm a racist or not. But I think, you know, this thing of mudslinging and, you know, just saying crazy things about people needs to stop. But I think we just need to have conversations. I'd love to speak to someone like Dr. Suleiman, where we can actually just talk about this. And, you know, instead of the Daily Maverick, you don't ask him, you know, why are you saying all this stuff? Why are you saying that the EFF should be in government? They aren't. They're not asking those questions. I'd love to ask him those questions and maybe just have a civil conversation about it. And then maybe we'll understand each other a bit better.
Have you received any threats since the Gift of the Givers?
I received threats every day, but it's water off a duck's back. You know, it's not going to stop me from speaking my mind. I've grown a pretty thick skin since the first few threats that I got for my satirical parodies. And yeah, I was meant to be speaking at my junior school, Pridwin. This was last week, Wednesday. I was meant to be there, and yeah, basically 2 days before my appearance, you know, I prepared my whole speech, and it had nothing to do with politics. I just wanted to inspire the boys and, you know, tell them about my journey and how, you know, I picked up music at Pridwin and how it helped me become the person I am today. it was going to be great. You know, I've spoken at Michael House, my old high school, and that was received really well. And then, yeah, 2 days before, the headmaster decided to cancel my appearance because apparently, you know, a couple of the Muslim parents were upset about what I'd said. And they said, you know, if this guy speaks, we're going to boycott the event. And, you know, instead of saying, fine, like, don't come to the event, he canceled my appearance. And I think that's very unfortunate, you know, caving to the demands of a small group of people, I don't think is, yeah, it's not the kind of headmaster I'd want, you know, running my son's school. Because, you know, if cancel culture has taught us anything, is if you bow to the demands of the people with the loudest voices or the people who make the loudest threats, nothing ever good comes out of that. If anything, it just emboldens them. And yeah, you can't cower to bullies.
Are you working on a new hit?
At the moment, I'm just enjoying time with friends and family, playing a lot of paddle and golf and that sort of thing. But yeah, I'm always working on stuff here and there. Political sort of satire and that kind of stuff, you know, I feel like it's a chapter that I've turned over. And, you know, the stuff that I'm doing now, where it's, you know, just remixing animals and people around the world, that's what I enjoy doing. And so for the most part, I think I'm just going to stick to that. And yeah, people are always sending me interesting videos and ideas through my social media platforms. So always just keeping an eye out for what I'm going to remix next. And then, yeah, the thing with Donald Trump, that was just, I think it's because he was talking about dogs and cats that it felt like these two worlds of political satire and remixing animals just kind of came together in the most unexpected way. And I think that's why it worked. But yeah, I don't think I'm going to be remixing Dr. Suleiman or Julius Malema or anyone like that anytime soon.
So what international tours do you have lined up for 2025?
It's going to be a busy year. February, I've got a UK tour. In May, I've got a North America tour. I think September is going to be a Europe tour, and there's also an Australia tour. So pretty much, yeah, intercontinental. And yeah, I've got some amazing festivals that I'm playing, you know, opening for Green Day and Yellow Card, bands that I grew up listening to. So it's just, yeah, consider myself very fortunate to be playing a lot of shows. And yeah, the only downside is I miss my family so much when I'm away. But one day they'll be able to travel with me, and I think that'll be the way to go. But yeah, it's going to be a busy year.
Thank you. That was David Scott, aka The Cliffness, speaking to Biz News. And I'm Christine.